This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to another edition of The Gardening Show here on B107.5 FM. I'm Igor, and alongside me, as always, our Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Igor.
All right, so what's happening today?
I got a question from a friend here a few days ago, and I thought I'd better talk about it on the show. And he wanted to lime his lawn because the lawn is looking really bad. Now, all lawns are going to be looking bad this year because of such a dry spell we're going through. And it's really a bad thing to apply any treatment to your lawn because it is dry right now, this year, not other years. Usually we have moist ground, but the ground is so dry that I wouldn't apply any treatment at all, even fertilizer. I've seen this happen before many years ago. A friend of mine had a beautiful lawn, probably 2 to 3 acres of lawn, and it was one of the best in Bradford. Excuse me. And we hit a dry spell like this, and he had his gardener fertilize it, and it burned the whole lawn. I'll say burn. There we go. You know, I only had that halfway plugged in, so I could.
Nobody
only
knows what you're talking about. It's radio. Oh, they can't see what you just did. He just plugged in his headphones.
Yeah.
All right.
I was wondering.
Go ahead.
So his whole lawn browned up. And, of course, then they called me out, and I took a look, and I had seen what had happened. So my recommendation was to just start watering and watering. And next year it should come back. And it did. He ended up with a fine lawn again. But that's just to show you that you have to be extremely careful this time of year, especially because of the dryness, that applying anything to your lawn can burn your lawn because we haven't been wet enough.
Yeah, I noticed my dirt is all like cracked and everything. I tried to plant grass seed earlier this season. It just didn't work.
Yeah, just too dry, too hot. Grass loves it moist and cool. It's what we call a cool season crop. It enjoys the cool weather, but it's been hot and dry. So just a note for you, be careful applying any lime, fertilizer, even weed killer. You know, if you just spot treat, that's okay. Or any insect repellent, be very, very careful because it's been so dry and that it could harm your lawn.
I had a call last week when I was putting together our best of show, repeat that we did last week. Some lady called up and she would like to know, she has a rose bush that's a little overgrown. She wants to know if it's a good time now or in the spring to cut that back.
Both.
Oh, both. All right. Okay.
Roses need pruned twice a year. wait a little longer till a frost has destroyed all the leaves. Then give it a good pruning. And then come spring, you're going to inspect your rose. You will see some of, they call those branches canes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Canes.
Yeah, canes.
Not Bradford's, but canes.
Yeah.
Not Smithport's.
But canes.
Yeah.
You're going to see some of those turn a dark brown, and those are probably the dead ones. So then you have to do that second pruning. It's important that you prune off those dead canes, because if you leave them on, they will develop a disease or a fungus in there. And, of course, it will eventually go down to the roots and could harm the rose bush. So two prunings, once in the late fall and then again in the early spring to get rid of the dead diseased wood, or even if your rose bush is too crowded in the center, if there's too many canes coming straight out of the center, that can be detrimental to a rose bush too. We want them to be open, a rose bush, so it gets good air circulation and good sunlight to all the leaves in the rose bush. So two prunings, one in the fall, one in the spring.
When you say late fall, is it a little too early right now? Or
yeah, wait till after a frost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Leave all those leaves on there as long as you can, because they are still collecting food from the sun and transferring it to the roots of the plant for next year's growth. So it's important to leave as many of those leaves on as you can.
Now, when you're trimming or you're cutting off those canes,
yeah,
do you do it way at the base or as far as you can down to the ground?
No, if you want your rose bush to remain about waist high, trim them to that point.
Okay.
And then in the spring, again, then you're going to trim off any of that dead wood. It may take it below your waist, but it'll grow back to that height again in no time at all. So two prunings, real important. Height, it depends on what you want to do and what kind of rose it is. Miniature rose is going to be treated as a different pruning than a real floribunda that wants to get 3, 4, 5 foot tall. The miniature roses only want to get 1 or maybe 2 foot tall.
Floribunda.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Ninja Turtles used to say?
Maybe I never watched them.
Cowabunga.
It was cowabunga. Yeah, I do recall that. Yeah.
Floribunga, dude. So what else is on your mind today, sir?
So I wanted to talk about bulbs today. Fascinating story. Way back in 1624, there was a thing called tulip mania. You know, at that time, there really wasn't a whole lot of bulbs growing around. And the tulip, by the way, comes from Turkey. That's where it originated. But the Dutch really took a liking to it immediately. And, of course, any of the wealthier, well-off people wanted to have tulips in their garden. You know, to start spring early because they're going to be blooming real early. So they could have flowers all through the year. And if anybody's ever studied Dutch paintings, you'll always, or not always, but a large percentage of the time, you'll see tulips there. And sometimes they may not look like the tulips we recognize today, but that was one of their favorite plants, was the tulip to paint. But in 1624, tulips became so popular that it started the
tulip mania.
Tulip mania, yeah.
Running wild, yeah. Brother. It's like Hulkamania, but only with flowers.
But kind of like trading and investing. People could buy a tulip bulb, even though it's in the ground, and they're never going to touch it, and hopes that it multiplies, and they do multiply. And eventually they can sell the new crop to make money off of the original bulb that they bought. So it's a trading.
That's so it was like a currency to them, sort of.
What started the stock market. It was the stock market long before the stock market.
How about that?
Yeah. And that it became so crazy that some tulip bulbs sold for 250 times the annual salary of the average man.
Wow.
Now, that's a tremendous, tremendous price. But they were that desirable. And there was a lot of odd tulips that came out of it through crossbreeding. Some of it that always made me chuckle was caused by a disease in the tulip that could cause the petal to be striped, like a red and white stripe. Now, they didn't know it was a disease. They thought it was highly desirable, and those investors would buy that one bulb for a tremendous amount of money. And, of course, it didn't multiply because it did have a disease. And that continued on for a while until the market crashed, and all of a sudden tulips weren't worth a whole lot anymore. And some people lost tons and tons of money. There was one time where a person tried to buy a tulip bulb for a load of wheat and rye, 8 pigs, 12 sheep, barrels of wine, beer and butter, and 1,000 pounds of cheese for that one bulb to complete his bed and suit the himself for that. So it was kind of silly, you know, but yeah, they did trade their whole life earnings and future earnings away for that one bulb.
If that's true, I just did the math here, up to 230 times the median household, or the, you know, the salary of a man back then, in today's money, $16,100,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
For how many bulbs?
For one bulb. For one bulb.
And you have some satchels of bulbs you brought here.
Oh, yeah.
For show and tell.
Yep.
So you're telling me back then, this is worth, this is almost Elon Musk money here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look at this.
I may have $1 billion worth of bulbs here if we were back in 1624.
Oh, well, where's that DeLorean time machine when we need it? Oh, well. So we do have, if you want to log in Facebook Live, we are on facebook.com/WESB1075, and you can see what Bob brought in. He'll be showing that to the camera. But you can also ask your questions to Bob that way in the comments section.
Yes.
Or our phone lines are open as well, so you can give us a call, 814-368-9372.
So back in 1624, these bulbs were worth a lot of money. Today, we can go to the store, and for 50 cents, we can buy a bulb. So quite a difference. But they're still extremely popular, and the Dutch are still the kings of the bulbs. As a matter of fact, they even have their own airport and airplanes. So when they harvest, they can ship them bulbs all over the world. Those planes are designed especially for hauling plants and no people.
No, God. So they have the special compartments and all that set up just for the cargo of plants.
So it's a multi-billion-dollar business for the Dutch yet today. But I'm going to start out with the crocus. And let me dig one out of here. The crocus is a really small bulb that we can plant around here. It's a easiest bulb of all to plant, because you got to dig a hole about 2 to 3 inches deep and you put it in there. You'll see a pointy tip. That's the one that should be up. That's facing the sky, the tip. And just about all bulbs are going to be that way, where the tip points up. Now, if you don't get the tip pointed straight up, all bulbs have a specialized root system, that when the roots first start coming out, they will pull against the soil and turn the bulb and right itself. That's kind of a fascinating thing that a bulb can do that.
It would be neat if we could get like a time-lapse video of that happening.
Oh, yeah.
But cameras can't see through dirt, I don't think.
Well, it has been done.
Not yet. Through
glass and so on.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Okay, good.
And the bulb will right itself, but try to plant them right side up so it doesn't have to spend extra energy to twist itself up and maybe not flower as well. So the crocus bulb, very small, about the size of a...
Like an acorn, it looks like to
me. Yeah, like an acorn, about the size of an acorn. Good one. And these are a perennial. These are going to come up year after year for decades and decades.
Now, when you say pointy side up, see me being me, not knowing about plants, that thing has 2 points. But there's one more rounded point on the bottom.
On the bottom, yeah. That's where the roots will come out.
That's like a rounder kind of point. The pointy point is the one you want.
Yeah, the pointy point. Yeah.
The pointy point. There's 2 points. There's a round point and a pointy point. So the pointy point goes up towards the sky.
That's the crocus. I said there's 8 bulbs in there for $3. So really inexpensive. They come in a lot of different colors. White, the purple, and yellow. They're the first to bloom in the spring also. So that's what makes them nice. You can even plant them out in your yard. That used to be a very popular thing. Plant them right out in your yard because they can withstand a little bit of mowing. But of course, you in the spring, you want to hold off on your mowing to let that foliage collect sunlight and regenerate the bulb for next year. So great, great bulb to plant. So next is going to be the tulip bulb. And that definitely has a real pointy end on it. And that should be facing towards the sky. Now the tulip bulbs need to be planted 4 to 6 inches deep in Bradford.
They almost look like little mini onions.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, a neat story that the Roman army thought that the tulip bulb could give them energy. So before battle, each soldier would eat a tulip bulb to give them that special energy because they were such a fascinating bulb, you know, that a lot of foliage and that beautiful flower could come out of that small little thing. And they don't really taste that bad, really. I wouldn't eat any myself, but they don't really taste that bad. I have tried them, but I don't recommend it. The Roman army, though, they would recommend it.
So this is all good to plant right now?
Right now, in
the fall?
Yes, for spring blooms. You can't beat a bulb for the spring flower. Now, the tulips, one more thing about them. Most tulips aren't a perennial. They won't come back year after year. So you usually have to buy and replant your tulips every year. Some of them will come back, but a lot of them won't. The shorter they are, I found myself, the shorter growing ones, they only grow like a foot tall, they can tend to be more of a guarantee to come back. You get those real tall, fancy ones with frilly blossoms, and the blossom will be way up 2 foot tall. They're probably not going to make it through the next year. They'll make it through this winter, but they won't make it the next winter. And deer love tulips.
Oh, deer.
Deer. They love the tulips.
Okay.
And it can be very discouraging, but I'm going to tell you how to make them safe. Because as the blossom starts to develop and it starts showing what we call color, like if you've planted a red tulip bulb and it starts coming up, has the green leaves around it, and then all of a sudden those green leaves start to open up because the flower is swelling and starts to show some of that red before the tulips even open. That's when the deer love, and the woodchucks, love to eat them. They're full of sugar, so they're very, very sweet, the flower of the tulip. Now, how to protect them? Daffodils. You plant daffodils with tulips. Deer detest the smell of daffodils. As a matter of fact, daffodils can be highly poisonous to deer and woodchucks, groundhogs. So daffodils make a great companion for the tulip bulb. And here's a daffodil that you plant, again, the pointy side up. This is a yellow daffodil. They come in yellows and whites and a mixture of. They come in big flower, trumpet ones. They come in small flower. There's one called the Tête de Tête. That's a real short grower, only grows about 6-8 inches tall. It's one of my favorites. But they reliably come back year after year. And the daffodils are such a good perennial that sometimes those hikers in the woods or hunters in the woods, early spring, will see daffodils blooming out in the middle of the woods. Well, you can guarantee that one time there was a house there or a homestead, and the daffodil bulb and flower has outlived the homestead, and they're still coming up, and they will for a couple hundred years.
Wow, that's incredible. That's so cool. Like a living history lesson.
Yeah, yeah. Another one, hyacinth. A really highly scented one that some people are allergic to the skin on the hyacinth.
Now, that almost looks like a red onion.
It does, yeah. Yeah, and
like a little radish or something.
I forget the name of the poison that's in them. This is another one, though, too, that if you plant them near your tulips, The deer will leave them alone because of the scent. The deer can smell this a lot better than we can. But again, some people are allergic to the skin. So when you're planting the hyacinths, don't itch your face or scratch your nose, because then that'll be scratchy and itchy all day long. Or wear some gloves while you're planting the hyacinths. But they're well worth planting because they put up a beautiful big flower and are very highly scented. You can quite often smell hyacinths from 100 yards away, and they're going to come in yellow, pink, blue, purple, lots of colors. And they will come back for a few years, but then they start to fade away, and so you may have to replant them every 5 or so years. But still well worth it, because, you know, you're only going to spend a dollar a bulb. You know, bulbs are the cheapest plants on the market.
And kind of easy to grow, right?
Yeah, easy to grow, because all you're doing is digging a hole 6 inches deep.
Kind of like the Ron Popeil of plants. You set it and forget it, right?
That's it, yep. They really don't require a whole lot of fertilizer. You know, I know you'll see that advertised. That's the fertilizer companies trying to sell more fertilizer. I've planted bulbs and had for 20, 30, 40 years, never fertilized, never put the bone meal on, and they come back year after year after year and multiply even.
Now, in theory, would fertilizer help it, like, maybe sooner in the season come up?
Not sooner, but okay. They may multiply a little bit more.
Okay.
But it's going to be hard to really notice.
Because you know how we are, us people. We're impatient sometimes. Yeah. We just want the flowers to come on up. It's spring. I want instant color.
Yes.
There's nothing we can do to encourage their growth earlier?
No, not really.
Oh, well.
They have a time clock in them, and they're going to go by the temperature of the soil. And, of course, sometimes it benefits the sooner you put them in the ground. If you do put them in right now, they're going to bloom maybe a week or two earlier than if you waited till, which has happened to me, if you waited till a snowfall,
right?
Then it may be a week or two later.
All right. So get a week's head start, plant it season before.
Yeah. Okay. And you never have to dig them up. Never have to dig them up. Once you put them in the ground, you leave them in the ground. Now, your tulips, if you want to, you can dig them up and save them in a cool, dark spot and then replant them. But I highly recommend just buying new tulips.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. It's just much easier just to buy the new ones, because they're, you know, less than a dollar a bulb. So another bulb, which is becoming more and more popular and kind of one of my favorites here, is an Allium bulb.
Not like a Martian alien. It's Allium.
Allium.
With an M. Okay.
And these are definitely related to the onions.
Oh, yeah.
And these you want to plant, you know, 6, 8 inches deep, because they get very tall. Some of these Alliums can get 3, 4, 5 foot tall, long stem, and then a huge multi-blossomed thing on the top. And they usually come in white and the different shades of purple and even a burgundy colored one. They're going to bloom late. They're not going to bloom till late June, early July. But they're still a great one, and they'll come back year after year and probably even multiply a bit, so that where you put one bulb on one flower last year, you may get 2 or 3 flowers in a couple years. So well worth it. And again, just for a couple bucks, let's see. This one's $11.97, 20 bulbs. So you can't really beat that price.
All right.
And
excellent.
Plant them once and forget them.
Good.
They're there forever.
Wonderful. All right. So bulbs are the way to go.
They are. They are. They're fascinating. And it's kind of neat after you've planted them. They're going to. It's a plant you put in the ground and you see nothing for 6 months. You know?
Yeah.
And then
so it's almost like a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden you get that show come spring, and it makes it all well worth it.
We're going to be right back with more Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edges on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. We have about 2.5 minutes left in the show here. We're talking about bulbs today.
Easy to plant, several different ways to plant them. You can take a little trowel, garden trowel, dig that hole, however deep you need it, 4 to 6 inches deep. There are bulb planters. You stick in the ground, squeeze the handle, and it'll pull out a plug of soil. You can drop the bulb in there and then squeeze that handle again. It'll drop the soil in there.
Good. Oh. I love me a gadget.
Or
give me a gadget to do it.
Best yet is you can get bulb augers for your battery-operated drill, and you just drill that hole. All the soil goes right to the side, all broken up nice and neat for you. Drop the bulb in there, and then push the soil back into the hole. And then if you want to, and it is kind of recommended, then give them a good watering. But usually in the fall, we're going to get several good waterings. So if you don't want to water, you don't really have to, but they do recommend you water them in after you planted them. That helps get rid of any air pockets in the soil that may be there. All the soil will settle down on that bulb, and then it'll start to develop its roots and start growing underground, waiting for spring.
Now, what is the master gardener's trick? What device do you use?
I use the auger.
Yeah. The auger.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't crawl around the soil and use, and my hands get too sore, especially when I worked at Pitt, I was planting thousands of bulbs.
Oh, yeah.
So, it can really harm your hands and your arms and so on that way. So,
you get carpal tunnel that way really easy.
Yeah.
My fingers are already feeling numb just thinking about it.
Yeah. Mine too. So I went to the auger, and my gosh, I can auger all, and it makes it easy to design too. It can be important to make a design too with your bulbs. Don't plant them all in a nice straight row like soldiers, because if one fails, and there will be some that will fail, it breaks up that whole line. So plant them in clumps or clusters, and take your auger or whatever you're going to use, and make those holes, look at it, say, well, yeah, that'll make a nice cluster of plants or drift. Some people call it a drift.
What kind of pattern, like a semicircle or?
Yeah, you can do anything, a semicircle, oblong, heart-shaped, any kind of design you want, but not straight lines.
Okay.
They just don't end up well.
How far apart from each other do the bulbs, or should they be?
They're going to tell you, 6 inches apart, but you can put bulbs 1 inch apart if you want. As a matter of fact, you can plant several bulbs in a pot using potting soil, put a little bit on the bottom, start planting your tulips and daffodils all around the outer edge, touching each other that close. Then cover them with soil, and then you can put another bulb on top of them.
Oh,
and then cover them with soil if you got a deep enough pot. And then last, you'll put crocus in on the very top and then cover them. They may only be covered by a half an inch of soil. And then, of course, you water it in and put it in a nice cold spot. A lot of people like the refrigerator if you got the space, or a nice cool basement or fruit cellar, wherever you have. And wait. And when you start to see the growth, you can bring them into the house, and quite often you can have the blooming bulbs for Christmas even.
Oh, wow.
Or even New Year's, maybe.
How fun is that?
Yeah. So you can, and they can be touching each other, and then the next year you can plant them in the ground.
Okay.
So they never go to waste.
Well, there you go. You heard the trick of the trade right here from the the Master Gardener, Bob Harris. Thank you so much for coming in this week.
Well, you're welcome.
We're all out of time, but we'll be back again next week right here on B107.5 FM and Facebook Live. Hey, have a fantastic weekend.
You too.
Thank you.